wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Suicides, what a subject. At first thought, this might be of no interest to you, but in the experiences of life, there are such depressing disappointments, many in hopeless despair try to end it all. While you never think you will ever come to that, yet, if you will listen to my messages, you will be fortified so that any suggestion of such a deed will be at once rejected by you. If I've been rightly informed, there is in a large central city a society called EXIT, Exit. It is formed to tell people easy ways to take their own lives, and it boasts of 100 phone calls a day. And in our fast generation, in which adults and youth alike become so disgusted with all their vain attempts to find real joy in sin and in pleasures, they get so sick of only finding a passing thrill, they are ready to try and end it all. Now, when an animal dies, that does end it all. But human beings were endowed by God at their creation with a living and eternal soul. A bullet may kill the body, but it can never touch the soul. And so there is no possibility of any man ending it all. It does terminate his conscious existence here on earth, but that eternal soul of his, carrying with it his memory, his conscience, and all his senses, sight, touch, taste, hearing, and seeing, departs into eternity, the grave forever, whether it goes to heaven above or to hellfire beneath. So there's no ending at all for any one of us. Suicide is becoming so common, it is treated as everyday happenings, and who cares? I want to tell you that my God cares, for he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he is so moved in his compassion, he pleads with men, saying, I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? And the Holy Spirit of God has ordered me, as his bondservant, to raise a voice against these suicidal murders. To any who are considering such a farewell to all of God's mercies of earth, the sunlight, the air, the water, and much more, and to enter a realm where there never comes a ray of light, and where they choke in the smoke and find no air to breathe, and where there's not a drop of water to cool their burning thirst, I must raise my voice and say, halt, face the facts. As I describe to you, first, the technique of the deceitful maneuvers of your enemy, the devil, to induce you to end your life here. And then, as I will, in a better realistic way, show you what you will experience as you enter eternity on a road where there's no turning back. Hear then these three messages as words of solemn warning from God to you. I am but his messenger. In these days of stress and disappointments, when dark clouds hang low over the whole world of men, man's God-given privilege of life here on earth, with its great possibilities in preparing for a future of eternal blessedness in God's heaven, is lightly esteemed, and a man's life is hailed not as a sacred trust from his Maker, but is so little set by, man kills man at the least provocation. But it doesn't stop there, for a popular crave is plaguing humanity, as a man will kill himself in suicide. At the root of all this is man's subtle enemy, the devil. His agents are not only evil spirits that race hither and thither to promote the devil's business of the destruction of men, but the devil uses people to stimulate and foster and excuse such self-destructive foolishness. In the Bible, a man, Job, was in great trouble. And to cap it all, his own wife told him he'd better kill himself. And the last thing to do was to voice his bitterness against Almighty God by cursing God. Job wisely reacted and despised her advice and maintained the righteousness of God. Many men today are at their wits' end, as we say. Everything has gone wrong, and their daily existence is just a moan of disgust and disappointment. And to add to this, their sinful habits have caught up with them, and in their body they are reaping its harvest. For God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So, when bodily pain increases mental depression, he looks for some way out of it all. God's way out he does not see and sometimes does not want to see. To God's way he closes his ears, and then the devil takes over. See, in his hand he has a little bottle of pills. He proceeds with his sermon like this. Hey, buddy, I've been watching you. I feel so sorry for you. God has given you a raw deal. Others don't have troubles like you do. Why does he just unload them all on you? He has made your life an unwanted burden to even your family, and you're more miserable every day you live. This has got to stop. I have the answer. See this bottle of pills? Now do as I direct you. You don't want to hang yourself and choke to death. That's too painful. But this way will not hurt you. My pills are not poison to rack your inside with killing pains. They're sleeping pills. And they put you to sleep, so you just sleep away out of life. And since God has been so mean to you, just before you pass out, shake your fist at heaven and curse God. This makes you shudder, for you still have a little of the fear of God. And to so provoke Almighty God to anger isn't going to help anyone, for no one can fight God and win. The devil sees you falter, so he goes on. All right, then, do this. God is so merciful, you have heard. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So do this way. Take my pills, and they'll give you a few minutes to get on your knees and to call on the Lord for his mercy. Then, if there is a heaven, and if God is merciful, he'll take you to heaven. Neighbor, let me get in on this. God is not mocked. You can't make a fool out of God, so don't be a fool yourself. Any hypocrite can get on his knees. You have detected them at some church altars. And any human can parrot a little prayer, but God knows your heart, and you cannot deceive him. You must be in earnest and show God you mean it. So long as you remain on your knees, parroting your little prayer, while you impatiently wait for your sleeping out of this life here, you are just another devil-inspired hypocrite. If yours was a real repentance, you'd jump to your feet, wash out your stomach, and call a doctor. So the devil's way out of your troubles is just like running away from a rain and jumping into an ocean, or like running from a hot day and diving into a furnace of fire. It is not a way out, but a way into more trouble than any man ever knew while he lives on earth. For the moment your soul leaves your body, that eternal soul of yours will be in hellfire, and you'll beg for a drop of water to cool your tongue. As you cry, I'm tormented in this flame. That is not getting out of trouble, but deliberately and by your own act, diving headlong into eternal anguish. And that fire God made for the devil and his gang. So one day, you'll be with your buddy in those flames. Will you thank the devil for his pills and direction? Now consider this. Some become so bitter against God, they do curse God and die. You'd be afraid to die that way, and well, you might. But the Bible says, God in whose hand thy life is. God holds your life here in his hands, allowing you another day to live, that it might be the day of salvation to your precious soul. But if you take your life, you are by that suicide act saying to God, you hold my life in your hand, I'll show you. I can wrench it out of your hand. I'll take my own life. Watch me. Some curse God and die by words, but every suicide by his act defies Almighty God and scoffs at his prerogative over man's life. Surely you don't want to die with that black sin crowning the long list of your sins against God. So tell the old devil, be gone with your pills and all your advice. Here's one you don't fool that way. Now, hear this man of God. God has a way out of your misery. Hearken, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. I will give you rest, rest for your eternal souls. Who is speaking? He is Jesus, your Savior. He is the Son of God who came down from his home in heaven to save sinners just like you and me. He died on a cross of shame and agony to provide salvation for us, dying for our very sins. Then as the conqueror of Satan and death, he arose and bodily ascended back into heaven. In compassion, he sees your plight. In tenderness, he calls you to himself. He wants you to just come to him with all your guilt and misery and cast yourself on him to trust him as you tell him, Lord Jesus Christ, thou precious Savior of lost sinners, I cast myself at thy feet. Please save me. Please make me thine own. I will trust thee for all, my life here and hereafter, to be my Lord to obey thee and my Savior to trust thee. Then the Lord Jesus will receive you, and he will take over your life, and he will find the way out of your troubles, and you will find the way out of your troubles will be to know Jesus and to find that he is the answer. Jesus never fails. I came in my distress to him 67 years ago, and my whole life was changed. He has never failed me. To take the devil's pills will be a lightning way into hellfire, but to take the Lord Jesus will be the way of a new life here and now, and a heavenly home at the end of the road. Oh, my neighbor, take my Jesus to be yours today, now. Amen. Now, here is my second message. In the Bible, a man was awakened by an angel, and the message he brought from heaven was, the journey is too great for thee. Imagine yourself so awakened. Surely you would think seriously, and well, you might. The journey? What journey am I on? Too great for me? That would irritate your pride, for so often you have said, leave it to me, I can do it. Let me help you. Already in your journey in this life here, you have miserably failed. As sin has conquered you, the devil deceived you, and the world allured you, and your history has been too shameful to talk about. How then will you do when you face the test of death and the great forever, eternity, and face that test all alone? Well do you know, thou shalt die and not live is a certainty for every man, for you. I am sure that in quiet moments you have wondered what it is to die and to take that journey into eternity. I will help you. And what I speak to you is as sure as God's word is true. So after 67 years of a Christian's life in studying my Bible, and after 60 years in the ministry of the gospel is to you, at your death, you will find yourself face to face with cold, heartless death. For death knows no mercy. And that monster power will make you tremble as death grips you. Unable to resist, you shall be borne along faster and faster, a terrific speed, and your brakes won't work. In trembling fear, you shall strain your eyes to see, but already the smoke of the pit fills the air, becoming so dark you can see nothing. Your hope that a ray of light will break through is shattered as you hear these awful words, for them is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And you are so lonely. If only someone were near to help you, you cry, but the echo of your own voice is all you hear as it reminds you of your solitary hopelessness. You smell brimstone, and the Bible warnings of the fire and brimstone you remember. You laughed at them and joked about hell being so hot, but it's no joke now. Then as the flames leap into view, you hear an angel cry, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all that forget God." Then, as hell opens her mouth to meet you at your coming, the Bible words will be heard, "All them who do iniquity shall be cast into a furnace of fire." And from that fire that burns with the wrath of Almighty God, because of man's rebellion and sin, you shall hear cries like this. Agrippa will cry, "Almost persuaded me to be a Christian." And you will remember the time when that was true of you. But like King Agrippa, you turned down your Savior and your only hope in time and in eternity, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Another shall cry for a drop of water to cool his tongue as he wails, "I'm tormented in this flame." And with just such companions and in just such flames, you shall be, as the Bible says, tormented day and night forever and ever. And your conscience and memory shall cause you to see God's heaven with his joy and singing, which might have been yours, but you lost your own soul in sin. And now to be lost in hellfire forever. Neighbor, you now see why God warns you the journey is too great for thee, and why faithful evangelists cry in your ears to flee from the wrath to come. Now let me tell you what you need. A church can do you no more good than can a heathen's idol. And no man, be he priest or pope, pastor or preacher, can accompany you on that journey. You need Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you now and to be with you in the hour of death, to take you home to heaven and to be with you forever. He in whose presence there is fullness of joy for all eternity. But you must now, and as a hell-deserving sinner, call on him to save you. He will be the answer to your every need in life, in death, and in eternity. Jesus never fails. Rest not until you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you are his forever. Amen.